Welcome to Control Talk Now, your smart buildings podcast with Ken Smyers and Eric Stromquist. Control news you can use. And now, here's your hosts, Ken and Eric.
Okay. Hi, and welcome to Control Talk Now. This is your host, Eric Stromquist, and we have another episode of Control Talk Now, your smart buildings podcast for the week ending November 9th, 2014. It's kind of a cool but beautiful day here in Atlanta, but I am joined, as usual, by the man, the myth, the legend, the one, the only, Kenny Smyers from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Kenny, welcome to the show, buddy, and another week in Control Talk Now.
Good, Derek. Glad to be here. Thank you. And it's a balmy 41 degrees here in Pittsburgh. With an expected high of 47, so we're just loving it, a little overcast, it's going to rain, so beautiful, beautiful autumn day here in Pittsburgh.
Well, very, very cool, buddy. Well, hey, a big week, really big week, election's done. Hey, with the change sort of in the Senate and all, do you see any of the energy programs changing at all, Kenny? I mean, I know Obama's been real friendly to energy, and you follow that and track that a lot, so what do you think?
Well, I think programs like the DOE is kind of incremental. You know, in other words, a change can't be too much. It's like a cargo ship going down a very narrow canal. It can turn left and right and bump into the right rail or left rail, but it really can't turn itself around. So I think we're going to see a lot of those energy programs staying exactly on the course they're on. I think the initiative and the funding came out, and now it's just a matter of following through, executing the whole program. I think locally, though, state by state, you'll see some changes immediately. I know here in Pennsylvania, we're one of the frack countries. We're one of the largest fracking areas in the country. And the person that was just elected governor is—he's going to go after and start chopping away at some of the profits there from the oil people, so they can pay for more of the roads and whatever to get into the fracking areas. He wants to develop a better way of optimizing, the tax to them, so that we can pay for schools and stuff, reinvest that in the infrastructure. So you're going to see a lot of changes locally, every state by state. But I think federally, it's going to stay pretty much the same. Forward, ahead, business as usual.
Well, Kenny, you're up there, man. I mean, we hear a lot about, pro and con about fracking. I mean, you hear these horror stories, and I'm not sure whether it's just the media hyping things up or not, but, you're kind of close to it. I mean, what's the 411 on it? Is it really screwing the environment up? Are people's bathtubs filling up with gas and catching on fire and stuff like that, all these horror stories we hear, or is that just sort of media hype?
No, I think in the beginning it was kind of a crude industry, but I think they've come a long way. I think here they do a great deal, expend a lot of energy educating the public, and they've got great sites that actually explain what fracking is and how they go down and they break up the shale, and then they have this foamy type of chemical that keeps the area that was fracked, the shale that was broken up, keeping it apart so the gas can seep up to the top and get captured. And they don't, they've really got... They go below the water table so that they've avoided some of the mistakes they made in the earlier operations. So I think now it's a very legitimate business. I'm happy for it. I think that we need to become self-sufficient, from energy as much as the fullest extent possible, and to have those kind of natural resources available. They're getting ready to lay a pipeline across Pennsylvania to capture that and move some of that gas, because we have a tremendous amount. I think we're the second largest fracking area in the country. Between Western Pennsylvania and West Virginia. So it's a huge business. It's put a lot of people to work. And I've always been that mentality. I mean, I love the environment, and I don't want to say do anything dumb, but, we've got to keep people working. We've got to keep using the abilities that we have, the resources we have, to stop our dependency on oil.
Well, no, I completely agree with that. But hey, I'm going a different route, Kenny. I'm going electric cars. I think electricity is the way to go. So I don't know whether you checked it out or not. I got a new hat here, buddy. It's my Tesla hat. After 3 months, the Tesla arrived on Tuesday.
Congratulations. I'm happy for you.
Oh, man, I tell you what, Kenny, it is an awesome ride, 100% electric car. For those people who don't know, Tesla is Elon Musk was the guy that I think founded it, Kenny. And it is just a super, super, I mean, the car in and of itself is just the coolest car I've ever had. And, I've had Lexuses and BMWs and stuff like that, but the fact that it's 100% electric and fast as the dickens, that was the thing that just blew me away. It has so much power that you just touch the pedal and you got the G-forces. pushing you back. So
is it like a VFD? I mean, when you accelerate, I mean, can you like put it to 60 miles an hour and it just moves that? And then we explain how you accelerate. I read it and I saw a little video on it, and it still didn't. I didn't get the impact or effect. So you have a gas pedal just like you do a regular car?
Oh yeah, it's like a regular car. So you get in the car, Kenny, and it's like you got these two huge iPads. It's like this huge touch screen. So everything's done with a touch screen, right? And you basically get in and you just put it in either drive or reverse. There's a little gear thing on the side, and the car starts going. You don't hear it. I mean, that's kind of eerie. You don't hear anything at all. But I tell you what, you hit that gas pedal, buddy, and you are hauling ass. So it's kind of cool. They got an app that goes with your smartphone. And so, you know, like you can, you know, see whether you're charging or whatever. You can unlock the car and all remotely. Like, so I kind of had fun the other day. It was, I had it charging across the street. And so you can honk the horn remotely. So the car's sitting there, you know, people walk up to it to look at it because it's a really cool looking car. And I'd honk the horn. I didn't know what the hell was going on. But it's fast, Kenny. It's really fast. It's cool. Like I said, the interior, everything's touchscreen. Yeah, I could go on and on about it. So,
well, again, though, how does it get to 4.3 seconds? Somebody told me, like, I know with the BMW, the M3, my friend has one of those, and he had has that turbo boost, and you actually put it, you get it to a certain amount of revs, and then you hit a button, and it releases. So you can do that incredible acceleration. But how does the Tesla? Supposedly, that thing can do 0 to 60 in 4.3 seconds.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah, I think so. It might be fascinating. I don't know, Kenny. I'm not a mechanical engineer. I do know it doesn't have an engine in it. So it's basically a battery and...
it's like a VFD is what somebody explained to me.
Yeah, and it's just... So I guess it's like frictionless or whatever. So the response is just unbelievable. So that's the upside to it. So anybody saying about getting a Tesla, I highly recommend it. But there, you know, there are a couple of things that... just sort of dawn on you. You don't really realize it's happening until you actually get the car. So they talk about these supercharging stations. So that my car will go 260 miles or thereabouts on a single charge, and that's actually under ideal conditions, like at 55 miles an hour on the highway. So I get this thing, of course, I'm taking everybody in the world for a ride in it, and I'm watching the miles go down, right? And so I figure I need to get it charged. So Thursday... I take it up to the, because they talk about these superchargers that can charge it, do half a charge in a half an hour and a whole charge in an hour. So I'm thinking for sure my Tesla dealership's going to have one of these things. So, you know, I go up there 3 o'clock and they're kind of up in Marietta. There's a lot of traffic. I figure I'll go in there and get, you know, a half an hour charge and be 60% charged and good to go. Well, their charger's not a supercharger. It's what they call a level 2 charger. So you plug this thing in, which is really cool. It's easy to do all that. That in and of itself is just an engineering mastery or marvel, I should say. And all of a sudden you look, it's going to take it 5 hours to charge 100%, right? And I go, what? He goes, yeah, this is a level 2. It's 40 amps. So long story short, I can't do that because the traffic's too bad. I got to be someplace. So I add about 20 miles to my queue there. And so Friday, yesterday, this is where I was honking the horn. There's chargers all over town, right? But you sort of have to pay to use them. So I figure out, I join this group, and there's a card there right across the street from this coffee shop I go to. There's a place that has these chargers. So, you know, I go plug in at 7 o'clock in the morning, right? And go have a cup of coffee and all that, because it tells me it's going to take it 9 hours to charge. So I work from home. And, you know, go back in the afternoon and get it. It's done. It's about $20 at this particular thing to get it charged, okay? But, I mean, you put that equate, it'd probably be about $60 in gas. So I'm still coming out ahead, but it's not all free. And so I think that the mindset you have to get into, I ran into somebody else, the mindset you have to get into is you constantly charge, Kenny. You don't wait for it to run down. Like a car, you get close to empty, you charge. This thing, you need to be charging all the time. So I'm going to put a charger in over at the office so I can be adding to the charge, you know, every day at work. So, but anyway, cool deal.
Well, Eric, you're going to have to invent one of these things. Like, this is an Eagle thing we got from Viconics. This thing has saved my tail many times when I'm with my phone and I'm in trouble all day, like maybe a trade show or something where I couldn't plug in or just something wasn't available. This thing will take it, and it's fast. So you need to create this this mobile battery that you can be charging this at all times and take one with you. And then when you get into a jam, it'll give you 30 miles of of 30 more miles yeah. to get to your charging station? Because it sounds to me like you're going to be in the predicament real soon.
I think the deal is, and where they do have the supercharging stations, actually, Kenny, is off of the highways. And they're building them. They got three or four that are going to be around Atlanta. One might be opening any day right now. So it's I'm just sort of getting the hang of it. But it's not, you know, I sort of experienced that anxiety, you know, right? Am I going to make it? Apparently, there's a Tesla users group in Atlanta and then an electric car user group in Atlanta. Apparently, Atlanta's the second has the second largest number of electric cars anywhere in the world. So it's pretty popular here.
Well, Atlanta is really happening down there, huh? You guys are you're world leaders. Nice.
Well, except for in sports.
Well, you guys better win this week because I took you on my poll, darn it. You guys ruin my poll every time I go with Atlanta. They let me down.
Tell you what, dude, I'm a hardcore fan. I wouldn't pick Atlanta if my life depended on it, I tell you. So good luck with that. You're on your own with that big dog.
Yeah. They get it, you know, statistically, they should do it. They got a good quarterback who just needs to execute.
Yeah. Well, he needs some players around it. But all right, big dog. Well, let's get to the week that was, the week that ended November 9th, 2014. Kenny, what was happening in the controls world, big dog?
Well, we'll start off with the first post would be Ken St. Clair's Internet of Things, his November edition. Great stuff. Ken's always... you know, staying on top of the all the industry, HVAC and building automation, and he got a great month worth of information. He calls it the Eye of Me, which is your present IoT understanding. It controls your comprehension and expectations of what those IoT letters might mean to you and those around you. The art and science and social interaction of our time is all based on the Internet of Things now, and it reflects life and how it's affecting all of our daily lives, so get over it. So he had a bunch of great contributing editors for the November, Standardizing the Internet of Things by Jim Sinopoli, IoT Changing Facility Management by Eric Graham, Wearable Technologies, Is This the Next Best Thing? Next Best Thing. Haystack Connects coming up 2015. John Petsy and Mark Petock contributed an article for Project Haystack, the cutting edge of IoT, and there's 10 more. So, I mean, we put a direct link in there from the Control Trends post to the Automated Buildings post. And Ken St. Clair, congratulations. He did another great job. And one more thing about Ken St. Clair is he's getting ready for the CTA Awards in Chicago. He's going to be with us, and he's very pleased to do a presentation of an industry giant that will be inducted. And then
inducted into the Hall of Fame, right?
To the Hall of Fame, yeah. So it's going to be really good. Yeah. He's also working real hard with a gentleman named Brad White, who's going to do some very important information presenting the Top Gun Award and the Young Energy Guy outline. What's going on with the youth and how we're catching the attention of the youth, and we're steering them into our career fields so that one day we'll have somebody to hand the baton off to.
Now, it sounds really great, Kenny, and sort of speaking a little bit about Ken St. Clair in his November issue. Ken is a real friend to the show and to Control Trends. We talk about him a lot. We have a lot of respect for him. So be sure to check Ken's November issue out, automatedbuildings.com. But also, Kenny, you know, another friend to the show and a friend to the Control Trends Awards is Honeywell, and we wanted to acknowledge them as this week's sponsor of the show. Honeywell has contributed to the Control Trends Awards. This will be the third year they've been platinum sponsors. We really appreciate all they do with that. And they've got several candidates and products that are nominated for the awards.
So 14.
14. So good luck to those guys and girls. So thanks to Honeywell for their sponsorship. And the sponsor for this week's show is the Big Red H, Honeywell.
And just a quick overview of Honeywell. Is a multinational conglomerate company. It's an American multinational conglomerate company that produces a variety of commercial, consumer, engineering services, and aerospace systems for a wide variety of markets. They're headquartered in Morristown, New Jersey. The present CEO is David M. Cody. Founded in 1906 in Wabash, Indiana by Mark C. Honeywell. And Honeywell's just got a lot going on. You have different categories, different products. But, I mean, this year, here we are in November, but they've already had just an incredible thing. They expanded the Stryker controller portfolio. The Spider portfolio has been large. They really really hit a home run with the Denmon energy meters for energy monitoring and measurement. And, of course, their thermostats. The RedLink is kicking kicking market butt, and they're just going through all the levels, the residential level, the light commercial level, now even the commercial level, and they tie that in through the Jace with the Red Link driver.
They really do, Kenny, and it was interesting. Honeywell's got so many talented people, and it's interesting to me. Some of our old stalwarts, the Worldwide Control Trends community is acknowledging some different people. So, for example, our Executive of the Year this year, Beth Wozniak. Well, I didn't see that coming. She's way up the chain in terms of executives, a very deserving nominee. So we'll hopefully get her on the show so our community can learn a little bit more about her. And Nino DeCosmo from Tritium, the Executive of the Year as well. So some new faces showing up as finalists for the Control Trends Awards. And you and I'll break these categories down as we get closer to voting time. And for people who don't know, we had the nomination period, and if you look behind me, you can see what everybody's going for. We got the big trophy back there in the back, Control Trends Awards. So we will be bringing all the different candidates on to talk about their products, their people, and their companies. And Kenny, hopefully, then the voting ballots will probably go out about December 15th or so. There'll be about a 2 to 3 week voting period, maybe a little bit longer. And we will find out who our finalists are, which will be announced, our winners are, which will be announced January 26, 2015, at the 2014 Control Trends Awards in Chicago. Right there where the AHR show is. So it's going to be a hot ticket. It's going to be good stuff. So excited about that. Again, thank you to Honeywell and all of our platinum sponsors and all of our sponsors, because without them, this couldn't happen.
That's for sure. Alrighty. Next up is kind of a combination of post. We have ACI's T-Sense, a combination CO2 sensor with temperature, RH, and a display. And this is a really cool three-in-one type of versatile transmitter. It's designed for installations in the air-conditioned zones. It measures CO2 concentration, of course, temperature, humidity, and the ambient air. And then the data is transmitted through the BMS system or standalone controller using the standard industry signals of all the analogs, 0, 10, 4 to 20, and BACnet. So good job, ACI. I'm sure it's going to be very successful. But that leads us into our building tip of the week. Our smart building tip of the week is... This isn't the heavy-duty ones that we've been coming up with where you've got, you know, really, you know, a high level of software or dashboards or engaging, you know, the C-level players to have a conversation about security and lighting. This is the simple stuff where we're taking pneumatic, with a lot of these buildings. I had an opportunity to travel to a couple hospitals and the school district this week, and I'm just amazed by how much pneumatic equipment, this commercial, the commercial products are still so reliable, and they're 25, 30 years old, whether it's Honeywell, Johnson, Siemens. Pneumatic is just huge in our area, and I still can't believe that a lot of the major buildings don't have the transducers like ACI makes. They make this interesting PTB-G, which is, takes a 3 to 15 or 3 to 30 PSI gauge and puts it on a transducer so that you get the best of both worlds. You get that great operation, reliable from pneumatic, the historic reliability of pneumatics, but then you get the ability to transduce that and integrate that into a building management system and really and truly get great control and great performance.
Well, you really do, Kenny, and of course ACI typically does very well at the Control Trends Awards. They're up for several awards this year, including Barry Gordon, who's up for Best Technical Support Person from a Small Manufacturer. So look for great things from ACI. Great company. Again, a very small, smaller company up in Wisconsin. They get acknowledged a lot as just being a really well-run company. So,
well, they sure do, and they do a lot of new products. They were recognized as a... NOTT company as 2013 Vendor of the Year, but they always come up with a lot of new products and ideas. They came up with a job kit, and we're thinking about maybe is that a good thing to give some of our vendor customers, our contractors especially, when they hit a certain threshold, reward them with one of these contractor job kits. It's like a first aid kit for the integrators. It has every single thing you could think of, from a transformer, a CT, analog rescaling module, 20K, 10K, strap-on, duct sensors. It's a very interesting, well-thought-out toolkit that you can put into a service truck And according to Barry, that the idea has taken off pretty well, but they're certainly expecting a little bit more dissemination into the market and a little bit more sales on this.
JobKit is really something else. Now, I did hear through a pretty reliable source that they had an insider guy that kind of goes by the man, the myth, the legend that might have suggested that as an idea to him. So not naming any names, Kenny Smyers, but sounds like they got some input from a pretty well-informed individual who set them on the right path with it. But that job kit is a great idea, Kenny.
Well, you know, it was just, I can't tell you how many times we had people where I just could kick myself in the leg because they needed, you know, just a regular sensor, but they got to come back 30 miles to pick it up, or we needed, we had 20 of them, they needed 24 of them, or something like that, you know. So it's always like, you know, if it just, we just had a couple of these laying around in like kind of a reserve, not on the shelf inventory type thing, but so, and I think also each service guy would feel so much more comfortable and confident that they go into a, you know, any of their jobs where they're doing the integration and they've got multi-vendored, you know, buildings where you've got this 10K and you're using this Jace 334 and it's a 10K, but you got a Honeywell, you know, 20K and you got a Johnson Platinum. So, you know, to have one of each of these thermistors or sensors or transmitters just really gives you, you know, just the benefit of the doubt. You can be pretty confident you're not going to be set back a day or can't fix something like an $8 sensor, $10 sensor.
Well, I tell you what, you know, travel time is such a big expense. You know, we've been talking about energy. I mean, the cost of gas, the cost of one of your technicians' time to have to run to the local wholesaler to pick the part up or even to have to wait to get it. So, yeah, I think, you know, having a low-cost, effective way to have some inventory on your truck there at the job site makes a lot of sense. All right, Kenny Smyers, what was our next story of the week?
Well, this was kind of a twist. It was Eric's teacher on TED Talk. Marshall Thurber is a teacher that has had a profound impact on your life and your business philosophy. And you had the good fortune to study with him for many years, and you quote him often on our show. But I'll tell you what, I watched that, and I really got a kick out of it because I do watch the TED Talks. I think they're very interesting. You know, you talk about you know, social media and access. What a great library of that information and just you know, general gee whiz wisdom, you know. But you'll tell us a little bit about that, but I just the thing that I remember, it was just we expect things to turn out a certain way, our personal lives and our business lives, and that's never the case. He made some great examples and analogies, like Rayathon was a refrigeration company. Avon used to sell books, door-to-door book salesmen, and now you know, these corporations have evolved into just extremely successful, innovative companies. But they had nothing; it has nothing to do. The present world has nothing to do with their past world or where they were.
No, absolutely, Kenny. And Marshall is brilliant in his own right. I mean, he is a guy definitely worth checking his story out. We have actually probably 6 or 7 different videos on Control Trend. You can Google him. I mean, just go to Control Trends, type in Marshall Thurber, and get some of his business principles. But Marshall had two primary teachers, one a guy by the name of Buckminster Fuller. And Fuller, many consider to be America's greatest inventor. He invented things like the geodesic dome. He wrote a book called 9 Chains to the Moon back in the 20s that outlined that he predicted we would go to the moon, when we would go to the moon. He outlined everything that would happen for us to get there, including the discovery of, I think, aluminum or some materials that hadn't even been presented yet. But Bucky is an interesting character. I've told you the story before about him, but let's just say that he had some trauma early on in life. He was brilliant, but he was a real rascal. He had some life-changing events happen, and he basically decided to live his life, as he called it, guinea pig P. So he lived his life as a guinea pig, and he wrote everything down. So he had a certain amount of rules, like, you know, he would, no matter how much money he had, he in other words, his whole life became a life of service, because he had gone back through his journals and he realized that whenever he was trying to do something for himself and not for other people, the universe didn't support him. But when he was trying to give back and help the universe, everything aligned for him. So one of his principles, he'd give away all the money he had in his bank account at the end of the month. When Marshall was traveling with him, he said sometimes Bucky would have $1 million or $2 million in his account because one of his inventions, he had gotten that much money. And Marshall used to say to him, Bucky, shouldn't you save some of the money? And Marshall said he'd look at him and said, Marshall, either the principles work or they don't. And that's sort of what Marshall talks about in this TED Talk, is there's certain undeniable principles, unilateral, they work in all circumstances, no matter what. and sort of aligning yourself with those principles is sort of a key. And sort of a funny story, and I won't spend too much time. Marshall's other teacher was Edwards Deming, the guy that MacArthur sent to Japan to study quality. And so he spent a lot of time with Deming. When I first met Marshall in the early 80s, he was talking about quality and the need for all the quality statistical process controls and all that. He was preaching that before Donald Peterson at Ford really got the American industry on it, and Marshall was involved in that too. So this guy's got quite a background. But Kenny, so definitely check the video out. I'll tell you one quick story about Marshall and Bucky when Marshall first got the opportunity to spend time with Bucky. Marshall was a lawyer by trade, and I guess the first time he saw Bucky, he saw him speak, and Marshall was so blown away that he followed Buckminster Fuller around from city to city to city. And Bucky was a pretty you know, prominent lecturer, so Marshall kept writing him and calling, trying to get a meeting to be able to talk with Bucky. And it took about a year before he would agree to see him. And of course, in that time, Marshall had read all his books. And as Marshall tells the story, they finally got to meet in San Francisco. Marshall goes up to his hotel. He's got a dolly with those legal boxes. He has, I think, like 150 legal pads full of questions to ask Bucky, right? So he goes up to the, Bucky takes one look at this and he goes, "Young man, I'll answer every single one of your questions as long as it takes, but I'd like for you to do two things for me first. If you'll do these two things, I think you'll learn something from it." And Bucky was a big believer, as Marshall is, experiences the greatest teacher. So Bucky says, "Okay, for the next half hour, I want you to go down to such and such a street, and I want you to direct traffic from east to west. And I'm going to send an associate down there with you. They're going to time you, but you stand in the road and you direct traffic, you know, not where you're going to get hurt." But so Marshall goes down in this particular street east to west. It was a one-way street going east to west. So Marshall stands out there and is directing traffic and is getting into it, having a really good time. Comes back, he's all energetic and says, "Okay, Bucky, Mr. Fuller, I got that done. What's my next assignment?" He goes, "Now for the next half hour, I want you to go down to the same street and I want you to direct traffic going west to east." So in other words, he was down there trying to get traffic going the opposite direction. So everybody's going one way and he's trying to get them to go the other way. Marshall said when he got back up to after experiencing that, about 90% of his questions were answered from that one simple exercise and the ramifications it had. So Marshall's had an interesting, really, really interesting life, Kenny. And if you ever get a chance to spend time with this guy and study with him, he's phenomenal. I know one of the things he's famous for, he's got a bunch of people who are students of his, like, you know, Anthony Robbins, if you've ever heard of him, was one of Marshall's students. This guy, Robert Kiyosaki, was one of Marshall's students. Marshall created, he would teach by creating games, Kenny. So when you would go to his courses, you would play a game, and there was an underlying principle from the game, right? And he would give you the right answer after you experienced it. Because one of his statements is, or one of his principles is, effort plus correct theory equals profound results. Meaning you can put all the effort in the world in, but if you don't have the right theory, you're not going to be successful. Or you can have the right theory, but if you don't put any effort into it, you're not going to be successful. So cool stuff. Check him out. Marshall Thurber. Like I said, I've learned a lot from it.
Right. Well, I'll tell you what. Again, very impressive stuff. And I do read this stuff, so I recommend everybody in the Control Trends community take a peek at it, because a lot of good philosophy, a lot of general comments on life in general and how to approach things more successfully. Well, next up we have a dull post where we have Belimo, Why the World Loves the Belimo Energy Valve, and it begins with a 5-year warranty. That's one of the good reasons. It measures energy, controls power, and manages delta T. But I wanted to introduce the distribution sales manager of North America, Mr. Gary Weber. Gary's been with Belimo 11 years now. What does time fly? Because I remember him from his previous positions. He leads the distribution channels in U.S. for Belimo Americas, and he directs the field sales in terms of new channels and/or distributors, market planning, and sales coaching. Overall focus includes strategic development, channel development, pricing strategy, marketing programs, relationships building, product recommendation, and business forums for top-level distributor management. He's increased the average sale 14% per year from 2004 to 2011. Well done, Gary Weber.
Welcome to the show, Gary.
Thank you, Eric, for having me. Appreciate it.
Kenny, as last week or the week before, I was down in St. Kitts at the Belimo Platinum Distributor meeting. And, Gary, I'll tell you something, dude. You guys know how to throw a meeting. That was awesome.
Yeah, it was a great venue. We were in St. Kitts at the Marriott. We appreciate our Platinum distributors. They do a great job for us. There was a great mix of business and social. The wives seemed to love it. I think we've hit on the right formula. So, and we have our Platinum distributors to thank for it. We don't have those kinds of meetings unless they do a great job with us.
Well, Gary, I got to tell you, my wife, every time I come home now, is asking me how much Belimo I sold today. So I think, you know, there's a method to the madness there. But let's talk a little bit about, sort of you guys you got all these great products. You seem to be refocusing marketing-wise under a theme, which is energy. Speak a bit about that, if you want.
Yeah, people recognize this as just a valve and actuator manufacturer. But over the last couple of years, we've really focused our R&D efforts and our products and our support on energy. And one of them is the energy valve. It's a unique product. It's patented. No one else in the industry has anything like that. It has a delta T manager, which controls the coil flow and prevents saturation or overflow.
All right, Gary. So, this overflow issue seems very very serious, and a lot of energy is wasted. And have you done studies? I believe the MIT study tells us how much money is wasted.
Yeah, that's a good question, Ken. Yes, we have, as a matter of fact. The original installation was at MIT in their library, and it was a joint effort on our part and their part because they did have the problem of the coil saturation and energy costs. We have a software package now that you can actually calculate the savings. One of the white papers that we've done is down in Miami, Florida. And we found out with an initial installation cost of about $20,000, the payback is less than a year. It's 0.8 months. So we can actually document and focus on what you actually can save given the application.
Let me get this right, Gary. So you're saving money. You're also getting better temperature control, right? Because you know the system's able to work at design temperatures.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, you've got the delta T, you've got the sensor. So if I'm needing to document something like leads for my building, it's almost like you got a BTU meter in there and you're able to get that information out for documentation purposes. Is that accurate?
That's correct. Actually, for the lead, lead doesn't go specifically to product, but the fact that this can store and collect data for 13 months, that can generate a lead point, that you've got information on that coil and what's going on in terms of energy, in terms of BTU.
Okay, so Gary, if I got this right, if I have a building automation contractor, building management specialist, and we put in a Belimo energy valve, does that speak BACnet, and can our integrators take the information from that valve using BACnet into their building automation systems?
Yes, they can, Ken. That is BACnet. The energy valve is BACnet compatible, and it can integrate into any DDC system, and you'll be able to take that information and use it.
Fantastic. Well, sort of along the energy theme too, Gary, your Zip Economizer is quite a unique product. Speak a bit about that, if you would. What makes that so special?
Yeah, the Zip Economizer, obviously the Economizer is not a unique application, but with the Zip Economizer, and again, we patented it, what you do is punch in your zip code, or if you're up in Canada, the postal code, and it'll download all the parameters that you need to automatically set it up. So the setup is literally simple. You enter your zip code or your postal code, and you set the low limit temperature in the mixed air, turn on the switch, you're ready to go. That's
it. Very, very cool. Another thing that really impressed me at the Platinum Distributor meeting, you guys have always had the universal linkages, and it seems like you've expanded that out. Why should that, what's significant about to our listeners? Why is that important?
Yeah, it's a good question, Eric. The universal linkage that we came out with, we did our homework, and we developed a product and a universal linkage that literally will fit on any particular valve. We've actually tested about 16 valves so far, some of the obvious ones, but some of the not so obvious, and we've been able to retrofit them all. And the nice part about this is for 10 or 15 minutes, you put it on, wire it up, flip the switch, you're ready to go. It's that quick.
That is very cool.
Really is cool.
All right, Gary, that's some really, really great product information. And love learning about how we can save energy and how we can become more efficient. Just want to mention, too, thank you very much for Belimo's support for the Control Trends Awards. You've been platinum sponsors for 3 years, and again, couldn't do it without you guys. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. I love Control Trends. We've been part of this for 3 years. It's a great venue, and we're looking forward to working with you in the future.
Well, great, great. And you guys are up for several awards. The Energy Valve is up for 2 awards, Innovative Product of the Year and the Energy Savings Product of the Year. And you guys are up for Best Technical Support again. You guys are also up for the Vendor of the Year. And then Lars von der Hagen is nominated for the HVAC Controls Executive of the Year. We kind of talked about the Energy Valve and the products sort of speak for themselves. Tell us a little about Lars, if you could.
Yeah, Lars has been president for about 3 or 4 years now in the Americas. He's a unique guy. I love him. He's very approachable. He gets out and talks to customers a lot. He will listen, and he will act on that information. Great guy.
Yeah, this we saw last year. He's obviously a good dancer. Marilyn was after. Lars is coming back. Although Marilyn's not going to be here this year. But cool. And you guys, you know, Vendor of the Year and Technical Support. I mean, I think when we look at vendors and talk to vendors, I mean, Belimo is known for their just tremendous technical support. Speak a bit about, do you guys have a philosophy or something that sort of drives that?
Yeah, we do. And it's humble and appreciative to be even nominated for that. So that is... That's great. I mean, it's nice to get nominated from your customers, and that's the best. The philosophy of Belimo in terms of the tech support, and I know we're up for an award. Belimo's philosophy is unique. Even if you're not a customer, if you call in and have an issue with Belimo product, we will answer. We will walk you through. We will make sure that it works before you hang up.
Gary, you know, you guys are up for also the Vendor of the Year, deservedly so. Hypothetically, if somebody doesn't know Belimo, a customer hasn't had the good fortune to deal with Belimo yet, what do they know about Belimo and how they're going to be treated?
Belimo, I've been with Belimo for a little over 10 years, and I've worked at other companies in the industry. Belimo's culture is what differentiates it. You know, in other companies, when they say, you know, listen to the customer is always right, Belimo allows you the opportunity to do what's right for the customer, and they will back you up. And they, you know, they back up their words with the actions. And it's just unique. I haven't experienced that before. I think that's in part what makes Belimo so successful.
All righty, Control Trends community, there you have it. Gary Weber, Belimo Air Controls. Thank you so much, Gary, for stopping by. Till next time.
Thanks a lot, Gary. Have a good one.
Thank you again for having me, Eric.
All right, Kenny, good stuff from Gary. And what do we have up next, my friend?
Next up, we have Delta Controls, the cradle of innovation. Delta Controls, innovation is the core of what they do. They take BACnet to heart and have been committed to contributing to the BACnet community for the last 20 years. They've invested in product development and R&D, and with over 200 years total of experience, industry experience in their research and development department alone, they know that innovation requires having teams in the field and involving the customers in the development process. So Delta Controls is a cradle of innovation and quality and customer satisfaction. Well done, Delta.
Well done, Delta. And as you know, Kenny, Delta is new to the Control Trends. Thank you very much. They're a platinum sponsor as well. So thanks to our friends at Delta for participating. They've been on the ballot the last couple of years, Kenny, but this year they've gotten really involved, really energized. They're up for several awards. Great product. Looks like they got some great people. So we'll be hearing more from Delta as we get closer to the final voting.
You're right, Eric. It's a testament to the way the Control Trends community involves people that are outside our standard, two-step distribution channel. They have a different business model, but that doesn't mean that they're not a great control company. In fact, the more we've learned about, especially some of these Canadian companies, they've been just incredibly successful, and we just didn't know the history on it. But now that we do, we can celebrate their successes, and we can help to extol the value of their controls and their support, and it's making us all just a bigger, larger, more successful community. Well, next up we have the Smart Grid Interoperability Panel, Cybersecurity It's a resource guide that we came across. We get a lot of good posts from the Smart Grid or SGIP website, and they send out an information letter at least once a month. But basically, the Smart Grid Interoperability Panel's mission is to accelerate the implementation of interoperable smart grid devices and systems. SGIP is a valuable source of information and guidance on all matters concerning the smart grid. One particular resourceful tool is the Cybersecurity Infographic, which is an easy-to-use user guide to meet the NIST IR 7628 requirements, and also how to understand how to manage the smart grid cybersecurity risks. So, I mean, we all know that cybersecurity, it's just a scary thing, and to deal with it, you need some very good guidance. Homeland Security has some good guidance. Mark Petock and Linkspring has some great guidance. George Thomas and Contemporary Controls have some great network guidance. But basically, United States security, economy, and public safety and health are at cybersecurity risks. And similar to a financial or reputational risk, cybersecurity risk can affect a company's bottom line. It can drive up and down costs, impact revenue, and harm an organization's ability to innovate and impact its ability to gain and retain customers. So this is a great post. The cybersecurity infographic, in fact, gives you just a visual tool, a visual aid on like a poster size board where you can see, people can use it to actually understand what the threats are and how to manage the cyber grid security risk. You know, I don't understand my organization's risks. So it tells you, are we allocating a budget? Do we invest enough? Is my organization lacking awareness? Are people adequately trained? I remember when I was in the Air Force, we always had these little reminders that you are responsible for security. You are responsible. Every eye and ear can help be part of the team, part of the network that ensures safety and security. You can identify people entering your facility. Everybody has a responsibility to do that. So basically, they describe the cybersecurity landscape. 53% of the total cybersecurity breaches that occurred in the energy sector occurred from October 2012 to May 2013. So less than 1 year, 53% of the cybersecurity hacks that happened in that time period. 200 cybersecurity breaches occurred from October 12th to May 2013. They doubled all the incidents in 2012. 97% of the breaches in 2012 that could have been avoided with the implementation of basic security controls. And 51% of the utilities are admitting that they are not ready for cybersecurity attacks. And there's much more. So
I tell you what, man, Kenny, it's kind of scary. So I'm really glad we're keeping up with that, and we're due to get Fred Gordy back on the show and Mark Petock to talk more about it. We just have to stay aware of that. But I just saw in the news last night, Home Depot got hacked again down here. And I have a question, not just for you, but for our audience. So Apple's big thing, it seems like now, is going to be the smart wallet. Right, where all your credit card information's there, on your smartphone, allowing you to pay for stuff. My question for you, with all the hacking that's going on, Kenny, I mean, is that something you would do? Do you feel safe having like all your credit card information on a device?
You know, Eric, I liken this sometimes to I went to South Africa once, down to Kruger National Park, and we were on a safari, and we got to see gigantic herds go to the water holes, and that's where everything happens. That's where the lions and all the predatory animals stalk the giant herds, wildebeests and antelopes and all the gazelles and whatever. And it just seems to me like that's the analogy that we live in. In other words, if you're in the target of sight alignment of somebody, and you're an attractive target, they're going to get you no matter what you're doing, probably. But by the same token, the only hope I think you really have is to stay with the most current technologies that have the greatest security measures in place. So you're not responsible for your own security other than your password, and you have to trust, and you have to invest that trust in a technology. And I think Apple's as strong and as smart as anybody out there. I they've got these gigantic think tanks. So then what I think happens is, though, the terrible breaches that have occurred in the retail departments and now the medical departments and J.P. Morgan, so the industries that have the greatest reward to the hackers are the ones that really truly need to see how, the 40 Ds of security, you try to deter people and make your target as strong as possible, and then you want to make sure you detect, and then if you can, delay, and then detain, get the people, the bad guys. And we're just not having any success on any of that. So My question is that I probably would think that, you know, when Apple puts this out, they're going to do everything they can to make it as secure as possible. And, yeah, I probably would, because life is getting so difficult that to maintain all your, you know, you have to go faster and do more faster with less. So, you know, technology to me is the way to go. So I don't know. It's like you can't disinvent anything. So it's like at what point? I know people that have taken their money out of banks. I know people that put all their money into you know, gold and silver, and they think everything's going to hell in a handbasket. And yet I talked to somebody else, and they don't think there's been a greater, more exciting time to be alive on the earth because there's so much potential. And so it's just what kind of a prism you look through. You know, you have you know, security is a concept by which we measure our fear. You know, so you know, some people leave their doors open at night and their cars aren't locked, and they live in a country and they have a gun nearby. So I just, I mean, how do you figure it all out? But technology, I think, is going to be, to be the linchpin. So hopefully that we can rely on these people. Their technologies are staying abreast of the threat. But I was in a seminar once with security, computer security, and we had one of the smartest guys in the world about that say that you're never going to stop it. No matter what's invented, no matter how crazy the password protections are, how crazy the how advanced the security measures are in layers, there will be somebody somewhere that will be able to circumvent that or defeat it, and you just you just wonder if they're going to go after your pocket or some kind of a much larger reward, you know.
Yeah, no, it's kind of, we've always had gangsters in this country. I mean, think about back in the Wild West, you had Billy the Kid and all those type people, you know, bad hombres. Then, you know, you had the gangsters in the 20s, you know, that were pretty cool, but they were all physical, right, and had physical skills. And now the modern-day gangster is probably some 15-, 16-year-old kid with big glasses that can just kick tail on a computer, and it's just interesting how it's all changed. So, all right, big dog, let's roll on. We're kind of getting up against it. What was our next post, buddy?
Well, the next post is an interview with Mr. Chris Eichmann, the Vice President and General Manager of Controls and BAS Distribution for Johnson Controls. Chris has been in this position for about 6 years. Chris is an experienced leader with the ability to develop and execute strategic as well as tactical business plans, and he's over 20 years of sales, and he brings that experience to bear for Johnson Controls. He's a great guy. He's a smart guy, but you know,
He's a guy's guy, man. I tell you what,
he's cool. He does a great job, and he really likes his job. So he exudes that his exuberance that is contagious, and it makes you always curious what he's going to have planned for you next, because he puts together some great meetings, that's for sure. And why don't you bring us home?
Well, yeah, Kenny, I had the chance to Chris came to town last week, I think it was. We sat down and had a chance to talk with Chris. Great conversation. You can hear it on Control Trends. We posted it. Talked about everything from, sort of Johnson's philosophy now and how they go to market, to the meeting that they had last year, which was just phenomenal, to the announcement of the next Johnson Controls Business Conference, which will be in Orlando this spring. Definitely want to see about getting to that. That's going to be a great, great conference. But yeah, Chris talked about the Control Trends Awards. Chris is nominated again for the Executive of the Year. He was co-winner of Executive of the Year our first year. He's been in the running. But Chris, a very knowledgeable, capable executive, does a really nice job for Johnson. So it was a pleasure to get to sit down and talk with Chris. Check the interview out. Let me know what you think.
Agreed. And Johnson Controls, again, we thank Johnson again for being a platinum sponsor. Again, third time that Johnson has been a supporter of the Control Trends Awards. Johnson's nominated for over 10 Control Trends categories, and I'm sure they're going to get their share of victors. And great products, great company, great people.
Yeah, and Chris Lane, Matt Krieger, those guys do the Wilmer, Johnson Tech
Greg
Talk
Wilmer,
with us.
Great job.
Yep, he's up. We're due for another Johnson Controls Tech Talk here very soon, so Kenny and I will get on that. So with that, Kenny, you know, I tell you what, it's another day in the controls world. Appreciate everybody tuning in. Special thanks to our sponsor this week, Honeywell. Special thanks to Gary Weber for coming on and spending some time with us. And with that, Kenny Smyers, I'll bid you adieu. Who are your Steelers playing today?
They're playing New York Jets, and they better win. And again, I picked them on my poll. I had a really good pull last week. I played in a Cheesehead League with Barry Gordon and everybody.
Okay.
It's moneyless. There's no money, but it's just bragging rights and see who knows their football or not. But the Steelers rebounded back. Good job, Ben Roethlisberger. He had two consecutive 6-touchdown games in a row, and that's something that we don't see too often in Pittsburgh. When you got you got your Peyton Mannings, you got your Rodgers, you know, for Green Bay. You got Luck. You know, these guys throw the ball over the field. Drew Brees, Rivers. You know, they're just they pass, and we don't typically. But now it seems like it's working. So don't break it if it's not, or don't fix it if it's not broken. Right?
Agreed.
What about Atlanta? Tell me about Atlanta. They're
forget about
win.
Atlanta. I won't talk about them anymore. You know, I tell you what, I'll put it to you this way. There's going to be no skin off my nose going through and editing the podcast and the video cast this today because they're dead to me. They're dead to me. You know, it's like Fredo
really?
Said, you're dead to me. You're dead to me. So, no more Falcons for me, big dog. All right, that's it. The man, the myth, the legend is going to go wish his Steelers, watch his Steelers, take care of them. I'm going to work on editing videos and hanging out. I hope you guys have a great week and you're better. Stay in control.
Indeed, Eric.
Indeed.